The following is a class on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19, Text 115 to 121, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on July 31st, 2001 in Moscow, Russia.
Krishna tattva bhakti tattva rasa tattva pranta sabasi kaila prabhu bhagavat siddhanta. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Srila Rupa Goswami the ultimate limit of the truth about Lord Krishna, the truth about devotional service, and the truth about transcendental mellows, consummating in conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. Finally, he told Rupa Goswami about the ultimate conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ramananda Phasivata Siddhanta Sunila Rupe Kripa Khoritaha Sabasancharila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Rupa Goswami all the conclusions he had heard from Ramananda Rai and fully empowered him so that he could understand them. Sri Rupa Hridaye Prabhu Shakti Sancharila Sarvatattva Nirupani Pravina Korila. By entering the heart of Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him to ascertain properly the conclusions of all truths. He made him an experienced devotee whose decisions correctly agreed with the verdicts of the disciplic succession. Thus, Sri Rupa Goswami was personally empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The principles of devotional service are only apparently under the jurisdiction of material activity. To be rightly guided, one must be personally guided by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was the case with Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and other acharyas. Shivananda Sener Putra Kavikarnapur Rupeta Milana Swagrante Likaya Chena Prachur. In his book, Chaitanya Chandrudoy, Kavikarnapur, the son of Shivananda Sen, has elaborately described the meeting between Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kalena Brindavana Keli Bharata Lupte Titam Kya Payitam Vishishya Kripam Ratain Vishishiche Chadevas Tatraiva Rupam Chasanatanam Cha. In the course of time, the transcendental news of Krishna's pastimes in Brindavan was almost lost. To enunciate explicitly those transcendental pastimes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag empowered Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami with the nectar of his mercy to carry out this work in Vrindavan. Purport. This verse and the following two verses are from Act 9 of Chaitanya Chandrudaya by Srila Kavikarnapur. From the very beginning, Srila Rupa Goswami was deeply attracted by the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus he was permanently relieved from family life. Srila Rupa Goswami and his younger brother, Ballabha, were blessed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although the Lord was transcendentally situated in his transcendental eternal form, at Prayag, he told Rupa Goswami about transcendental ecstatic love of Krishna. The Lord then embraced him very fondly and bestowed all his mercy upon him. Indeed, Srila Rupa Goswami, whose dear friend was Swarup Damodar, was the exact replica of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was very, very dear to the Lord. Being the embodiment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love, Rupa Goswami was naturally very beautiful. He very carefully followed the principles enunciated by the Lord, and he was a competent person to explain properly the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded his mercy to Srila Rupa Goswami just so he could render service by writing transcendental literatures. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally empowered Srila Rupa Goswami to reveal the innermost love and knowledge of his own heart to the world. 5,000 years ago, Lord Sri Krishna spoke the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. In a similar way, about 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya spoke the ultimate conclusions of all scriptures to Sri Rupa Goswami at Prayag. Srila Prabhupada has taught us that all the authorized followers of Lord Chaitanya are known as Rupanugas, the followers of Sri Rupa Goswami. Lord Chaitanya himself only personally wrote the 8 verses of Shikshastakam. It was through the 6 Goswamis, headed by Rupa Goswami, that he personally revealed the transcendental philosophy of devotional service. Rupa Goswami is, in the spiritual world, the intimate associate, maidservant of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. His name is Sri Rupa Manjari. He has descended along with Radha Krishna, who appeared as Lord Chaitanya, to help them in their divine mission. That mission is to dispel all misconception, ignorance, and establish the true glory of the pure devotional service of Vrindavan. All of the most purified, highly realized acharyas have worshipped Sri Rupa Goswami as their guru. His glories are unlimited. It is not possible for a conditioned soul as myself to properly speak. But on the order of the Vaishnavas, in your service, I will make some attempt. Like a bird trying to fly across the sky, how far can he go? But still he goes to his capacity. In the same way, we make some insignificant attempt to describe the glories of this divine personality. Last year, on this very day of Sri Rupa Goswami's disappearance, I was in Vrindavan worshipping Rupa Goswami at his Samadhi Mandir in the Radha Damodar temple, trying to offer sincere prayers at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada. At that time, it was just in the afternoon, the pujaris gave me a full plate of the Mahaprasad that was offered to Rupa Goswami on that day in his Samadhi. The associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his spirit, are most merciful to the most fallen. Srila Jiva Goswami describes the genealogy table of Sri Rupa Goswami. In the 12th century of the Shaka era, there was a Brahmin of the name Sarvajna Jagadguru. He was extremely learned in the scriptures, very pure in his life, and was very, very powerful and attractive. In this way, they made him a king in the province of Karnataka. And all the other kings would have the greatest respect and reverence for him. He had a son named Aniruddha. It is said that Aniruddha had the spirit of Indra and the fame of Chandra. Like his father, he was very expert at the Yajurveda and other holy scriptures. He had 2 sons. The oldest was Rupeshwar. Rupeshwar was very gentle, very kind-hearted, very learned in the scriptures, a perfect Brahman. His younger brother was Harihara. He became very expert at fighting with weapons. He was a powerful Kshatriya in his spirit, although born in a pure Brahman family. The father, Aniruddha, got both of his sons married. Soon after that, Aniruddha died. Harihara, taking advantage of the situation due to his powers, he usurped all the property and wealth of the entire kingdom and left his elder brother, Rupeshwar, with nothing. Rupeshwar boarded a chariot with 8 horses and took his family from Karnataka province of South India to Orissa in Bengal. There he settled down with his family. He had a son of the name Padmanabh. Padmanabh was also a very, very great learned Brahmin, and he was a very dear devotee of Lord Jagannath. Padmanabh performed a yajna, and due to his devotion and his prayers, he had 18 daughters and 5 sons. One of his sons was named Mukundadev. Mukundadev also was a very great devotee of Jagannath, Krishna, and he had several sons, of whom the most illustrious was named Kumardev. Kumardev was married to a very chaste and pure-hearted lady named Revati. Such a great devotee and exalted person he was. Due to various family difficulties, Kumardev went to the eastern side of Bengal, which is today called Bangladesh. He settled down in a village named Bakla Chandradweep, but he also built a house in a village called Faikyabad, because there were so many devotees there, he wanted their association. Amongst Kumardev's children, 3 were most illustrious. Their names were Amar, Shantosh, and Sri Ballabha. They were later to be known as Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, and Anupam. These 3 brothers were simply glorious in every sense. From their very birth, they had pure devotional sentiments toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As they grew up, they became exceptionally attractive to all of the society. They had beautiful bodily features. They were perfectly noble and self-controlled. Their minds were clear and clean. They had no envy toward anyone. They were simply embodiments of the Lord's love. Due to their attractive influence on the people, the ministers of the Nawab Hussein Shah, King of Bengal, brought this to his attention. He decided, I must have them as my ministers. The whole Hindu population will be cooperative with me if these 3 powerful souls become my men. They were approached by the Nawab Hussein Shah. He was a cruel meat-eater, Malecha, who hated and persecuted Hindus. But he told them, if you become my chief ministers, then I will protect you and I will protect the Hindu community. If you do not, then I will persecute. A devotee is paradukaduki. He cannot tolerate seeing the sufferings of others. Therefore, Rupa, Sanatan, and Anupam accepted what they considered the most abominable condition of life just to protect the other devotees. They were so expert as ministers of the Nawab Hussein Shah that the king, the Nawab, accepted them as his own brother. He even did something that was exceptional. The Nawab Hussein Shah awarded two Hindus that were devoutly following their religion very exalted Muslim titles. He gave Sanatan the name Sakar Malik and Rupa Goswami the name Dabir Khas. The Nawab Hussein Shah was a violent and cruel ruler. He was very, very passionate to use more and more property. So while he was out conquering other lands, he practically turned over the entire administration of his kingdom to Rupan Sanatan. In fact, he even divided his own personal wealth with them. He bestowed upon them an immense treasury of money. In the city of Ramakeli, he built them extraordinary, opulent palaces, one for each of the brothers. Of course, Rup Sanatan and Anupam were always immersed in the loving service of the Lord. On their property in Ramakeli, Rup and Sanatan built beautiful, beautiful garden that was a replica of Vrindavan. They called it Kadambakanana. There they excavated the places of Lord Krishna's Leela. They created a Radha Kund and Sham Kund. They built a beautiful temple and installed the deity of Madan Mohan. And so many of the pastime places of Lord Krishna they also developed. In fact, they would get out of their government offices as soon as possible every day and just roam through the gardens of Vrindavan in Ramakeli, completely absorbed in remembrance of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Some years ago, we took several hundred devotees to Ramakeli on pilgrimage. First, we went to the garden where Shama Kund and Radha Kund are still there, Kadamba Kanana. Then we had beautiful darshan of Madan Mohan. And then we went to a gigantic building, which was actually the government house of the Nawab Hussein Shah, where Rup and Sanatan performed their government duties. There was a huge flat lawn with short grass, perfect place for kirtan, in front. So we were having a very ecstatic kirtan with, I think it was about 800 devotees. One of the Mayapur Bengali devotees, Gauranga Prem by name, he told us that we should leave this place and go back to Kadamba Kanana. I said, but we're having ecstatic kirtan here. Let the devotees enjoy this kirtan. He said, Rupa Goswami would leave this place as soon as he could and go back to Kadamba Kanana. Now we are Rupanugas. We should follow in his footsteps. Rupan Sanatan. They built a beautiful assembly house specifically for Harikatha. He invited Vaishnavas, devotees, scholars of the scriptures from all over the country to come. It is explained hundreds and hundreds of these Vaishnavas and scholars would be gathered in this assembly house, and Rupan Sanatan would be sitting there, effulgent. They looked just like Indra in the court of his pandits. They were so very eager to hear about Krishna from those who understood the subject properly. And when they would speak, everyone was struck with wonder. They had become practically the world's most proficient scholars of Sanskrit, Persian, and the local Bengali and Orient languages. They were the greatest authorities of the various scriptures of the world. Although they were multi-billionaires, they were so powerful that they were literally ruling the kingdom, and they were so learned, beautiful. Still, the amazing thing was they were more humble than a piece of straw on a street. Years later, the father of Srinivasacharya, whose name was Chaitanya Das, was describing Rupan Sanatan to his son. He said, many years before, my father brought me to Ram Kali, and when I saw the effulgence, the beauty, and the grandeur of Rupa and Sanatan, I was struck with wonder. There, they exhibited such an opulence of renunciation. Although in such high positions, any devotee guest that came, however insignificant and unknown, even poverty-stricken, they would get down from their seats, bow down to those devotees with folded hands, and honor them. They would personally serve each devotee prasad with their own hands. With their money, they built so many little houses on the bank of the Ganges. This was simply to take care very nicely of all the guests that came. Their heart, their life, their soul was to humbly serve the devotees. They became so famous that if anybody wrote any literature in reference to the Nyaya philosophy, it would not be accepted unless Rupa and Sanatan gave their approval. In this way they lived, completely absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, while simultaneously ruling the state for the Nawab. They considered their condition abominable, being the servant of a low-class malecha. The father of Rupa and Sanatan and Anupam, whose name was Kumardev, he day and night was weeping in anxiety because of the lamentable position of his sons. Now most fathers, if they see their children living in magnificent palaces, multi-millionaires with such power that they're ruling governments, parents would be quite proud. But Kumardev was a Vaishnava. Therefore, he considered that this was all nonsense. If they were not directly serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their life was being wasted. For years and years, his full-time occupation was just performing yajñas, praying to Lord Krishna to liberate his sons from this horrible condition. One day, Sanatan Goswami had a dream. He saw the beautiful golden form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. In that dream, he understood that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Immediately, he told this dream to Sri Rupa Goswami, who was his younger brother. Sri Rupa confirmed, "Yes, I know it for certain. According to the Shastras, according to all evidence, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord Krishna himself, incarnated on earth." So Rupa and Sanatan and Anupam approached their mother. She said, "Yes, you should get out of this government service somehow or other. Only Lord Chaitanya can save you. Why don't you write a letter to him?" So they wrote a letter to Lord Chaitanya and delivered it. They explained their whole situation and their deep desire to get out of this Nawab Hussein Shah's clutches and render direct loving service to the Lord himself. They waited a long time, but there was no reply. They sent another letter. No reply. They sent another letter. No reply. Finally, after many attempts, they received a reply, which was only one line. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu wrote to them that just as a young lady who is married, if she falls in love with another man than her husband, then she will perform her duties to her husband exceptionally attentive, so that he will not in any way suspect what is in her mind. But in her mind, she will be constantly absorbed in meditating on her paramour. That's all he said. So Rupa and Sanatan and Anupam knew exactly what to do. They had to carry on their service and just meditate on Krishna. But day and night they were just praying to Lord Chaitanya, "Please save us." The Lord is in the heart of all living beings, and He always hears the prayers of His devotee. The Lord decided that He wanted to make a pilgrimage from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan. When He began His journey with the permission and blessings of the Vaishnavas, thousands of people followed Him. On the way, He came to Kuliagram in Navadvip. There He forgave the sins and the offenses of so many blasphemous persons. He made such an impact in Navadvip that when He left, there was literally millions of people following Him to Vrindavan. Everywhere He stepped, people would take dust from that place, and in this way there were big, deep holes in the road. There was a very, very pure-hearted devotee whose name was Narasinghananda Brahmachari. And he sat in meditation. He had no property, no wealth, but he had devotion. He began in his mind to decorate the road so it was a very comfortable journey for Lord Chaitanya. He covered the entire road with soft flowers that had their stems plucked from them. He ornamented the road with gold and silver and diamonds and emeralds. In his mind, he created very clear water lakes with swans, auspicious birds, and all auspicious trees. At a certain point in his meditation, he was not able to decorate the road any farther. So he came out of his meditation and told the devotees in Puri that Mahaprabhu will not go to Vrindavan. "What are you saying, he won't go to Vrindavan? For 3 years he was trying to go to Vrindavan. We kept tricking him and tricking him and tricking him to keep him in Puri. Finally, he had such an intense desire. He said that my heart is broken. I am lamenting. I'm feeling great longing. Please give me permission to go to Vrindavan." Narasinghananda Brahmachari said, "No, he will not go. He will go as far as Kanai Natashala, then he will come back. You wait and see." So Lord Chaitanya took a very indirect road that was out of the way of going to Vrindavan because he wanted to go to Ramakeli. By the time he arrived at Ramakeli, the place where the Nawab Hussein Shah had his palace, there were millions of people loudly chanting Hare Krishna as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing. Now, please understand, this Nawab Hussein Shah was a cruel, violent demon. Srinivasacharya explains that the six Goswami were dhira dhira. To the both the gentle and the ruffians, they were very dear. Because of Sanatan and Rupa and Anupam, he allowed the Hindus to exist, but there was a law that there was absolutely no public demonstrations of their religious faith. Otherwise, they would be tortured, beaten, plundered, or even killed. He was such a cruel, violent demon that if the wind touched his body and then touched a Hindu, they would immediately jump in the river to purify themselves. The devotees feared him like death personified. And here Lord Chaitanya comes with millions of people right in front of his palace, leaping, dancing, loudly chanting Hare Krishna. The Nawab Hussein Shah, "What is this going on here?" He called one of his chief policemen. "Tell me, what is this?" The policeman said, "I have seen. There is a personality that have come to our city. His name is Chaitanya. He's the crest jewel of all sannyasis. His complexion is like resplendent molten gold. His beautiful arms elongate below his knees. His eyes are like fully blown lotus petals that practically reach to their ears. He has neck like a lion. His limbs are graceful like an elephant. When he chants the holy names, it's like the roaring of thunder. I cannot tell you how many rivers are constantly flowing from his eyes due to ecstatic love. His limbs tremble, his hair stand on end. When he jumps, he falls to the ground and all the stones become crushed into powder. But yet his body appears soft like butter, and it is never injured. Let me tell you something else about this personality. Just by glancing upon the people, he's inducing them in ecstatic love of God. By his compassion, there are millions and millions and millions of people chanting and dancing in ecstasy. I have never seen such power anywhere. His beauty melted my heart. There has been many sannyasis and many babajis and sages and great religious priests that have come to our kingdom, but none has demonstrated such beauty, such compassion, and such power as Lord Chaitanya. Dear King, I think that your city has become supremely blessed by his presence. Nawab Hussain Shah wanted to hear some more about this person. So he called one of his secretaries. His name was Keshava Khan. He asked, "This Chaitanya, this sannyasi, prophet, please tell me something about what's happening out there." Now, Keshava Khan was a devotee, so he didn't want to get Lord Chaitanya in trouble. He knew how envious was Nawab Hussain Shah. So he said, "Actually, these are all exaggerations and rumors. Actually, he's just a simple beggar going to a few houses doing madhukari. He has a few followers. Nobody cares about him. He's just a very ordinary person. There's nothing to worry about." And Nawab Hussain Shah said, "He is the Supreme Lord! Why are you blaspheming him by calling him an ordinary person? I declare a law that this Lord Chaitanya, he can preach, he can chant, he can dance anywhere and everywhere he wants in my kingdom with full freedom. And if anyone disturbs his ecstatic preaching, whether they be a policeman, a politician, or a qazi, then I will arrest them, I will torture them, and I will kill them." He never even saw the Lord. Just by hearing about the qualities of Lord Chaitanya, this tyrant became soft in heart. Meanwhile, Mahaprabhu was having glorious kirtan. But some of the servants of the king who were devotees, they understood that this king is very unstable in his mind. If he hears something against the Lord, he may just send his soldiers to attack. So they sent one Brahmin, and he had a message requesting Lord Chaitanya to stop the kirtan and go somewhere else. Please listen very carefully. When Lord Chaitanya was in kirtan, there was no question of any managerial considerations. He was so absorbed in chanting and dancing that nobody could speak a word to him. This messenger stood there with the message for several days. And there wasn't even a second break where Lord Chaitanya was not loudly chanting Hare Krishna and dancing in ecstasy. Finally, he told the message to some of the Lord's devotees because the Brahmin had to go. And the Lord understood their heart, and he stopped the kirtan. And he called out with a very thunderous voice. He said, "When I am here, why are you afraid of this king? There should be no fear. I am the controller of all controllers. If I do not give the power to walk to the king, then how will he come here? If I do not give him power to speak, then what will he say to me? I have descended into this world in the age of Kali to spread love of God through the congregational chanting of the holy names." And this was the place where that famous verse was recited. "I declare that in every town and in every village throughout the world, my holy name will be chanted. Srila Prabhupada ki. After this, Lord Chaitanya ended the kirtan, made everyone very happy. Then he went to rest. That place where he rested is still there. He was sitting under a tamal tree. Just next to this tamal tree is a kadamba tree. The kadamba tree is most dear to Krishna because it reminds him of Sri Radha. And the tamal tree is most dear to Sri Radha because it reminds him of the Shamsundar. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Shamsundar with the complexion and the devotional sentiments of Sri Radharani. So he was sitting under these trees. It was late at night. At that time, Sakar Malik, Dabir Khas, and their brother Sri Ballabha decided that they wanted to visit Lord Chaitanya. Please try to understand, this was the darshan they have been praying, longing for years. So that no one would see them, incognito, they secretly went out in the dark of night, wearing very simple clothing. They met Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu. After receiving the mercy and blessings of these two great personalities, Nityananda and Haridas brought them in to see Lord Chaitanya. This historical meeting is one of the most dear incidents that is forever engraved in the hearts of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Rup, Sanatan, and Anupam, out of their humility, they took bunches of straw and placed them between their teeth. They took simple cloth and wrapped it around their necks. In the culture of Bengal at the time, this was the ultimate expression of totally humbling oneself in menial service toward another. They fell down flat on the ground offering dandavat pranams. Laying there, they were weeping in utter humility. Lord Chaitanya ultimately had to lift them up with his own hands. He embraced them. Then he placed his lotus feet on top of their heads. He said, please stand up. Rupa and Sanatan, with folded hands, began to offer the prayers of their heart. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All glories to the Lord who is most merciful to the most fallen souls. My dear Lord, you have descended into this world to deliver the most fallen. You will not find any more suitable candidates for your mercy than us. We are sinful, fallen, ignorant, and we have become servants of wicked, cruel malechas. We have no qualifications whatsoever of any auspiciousness. But we know that you deliver Jagai and Madhai. But you did not have to exert yourself very much to deliver them, because after all, they were Brahmins who were born in Navadvip. And just by chanting your name in the mood of blasphemy, you delivered them of all their sins. However, Jagai and Madhai never became the obedient servants of wicked men. Therefore, we are millions and millions and millions of times more fallen, sinful, and degraded than Jagai and Madhai. We have no qualification to receive your mercy. But just like a dwarf who wants to touch the moon, we understand that without you, there is no hope for us, because you are the deliverer of the most sinful. Please hear our plea. If you deliver us by giving us your mercy, your fame will be spread throughout the entire creation as Patita Pavan Avatar. We surrender to you. Lord Chaitanya embraced them and soaked them with his tears. He said, please stop this humility. It is breaking my heart. The Lord told them, you are my old servants. You are my eternal associates. I give you the names Sanatan, Rupa, and Anupam. Actually, Lord Chaitanya said, I had no reason to come to Ramkeli. It's out of the way. But I read your letters. And by reading your letters, I could understand what type of sincere devotion and surrender that you possess. So I came here just to deliver you. Do not fear. Krishna will free you from all of your bondage. Rup, Sanat, and Anupam were overwhelmed with joy. Then they presented to Lord Chaitanya that it's best if you don't stay in Ramkeli any longer, because this Nawab Hussein Shah, we don't know what he'll do from one minute to the next. And also, my lord, you are going to Vrindavan with millions of people. Vrindavan is a very secluded, peaceful, solitary place. It will be better for you to go alone or with one or two others. After this wonderful meeting, Rupa and Sanatan return to their homes. The Bhakti Ratnakar describes, while Rupa and Sanatan and Anupam were having this discussion with Lord Chaitanya, the little son of Anupam, whose name was Jiva, followed them and was hiding near a tree and watching and listening. Although he was a small child, seeing the humility and surrender of his father and uncles and the unlimited mercy of Lord Chaitanya within his heart, he surrendered. The next morning, Lord Gaur Sundar continued his journey to Vrindavan. He came to a place called Kanai Natashala. Have any of you been there? It's a beautiful place. The river Ganga circles it on three sides. It's right on top of a mountain. There's tamal trees and kadamba trees and banyan trees and bakula trees. Lord Chaitanya saw it as non-different than Vrindavan. And he was very much immersed in the environment. But then there were millions of people stepping on branches and making all noise. And Lord Chaitanya thought, what Sanatan and Rupa told me is correct. I should not go to Vrindavan with so many people. But to everyone's great surprise, Lord Chaitanya loudly declared, we will return to Puri. Thus, Narasinghananda Brahmachari's prophecy was true. Meanwhile, Rupa, Sanatan, Anupam, they decided, who were now Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Anupam, that they were going to somehow or other escape from their government service because Lord Chaitanya told them that he wanted them in Vrindavan. They hired two Brahmins. These two Brahmins perform yajnas day and night for the purpose of liberating them from their government services. When they saw that things were proper, Rupa Goswami and Anupam decided we're leaving this place. But because Sanatan Goswami was like the Prime Minister, he felt, I cannot leave at this time. It will take some time for me to get out. Srila Rupa Goswami and younger brother Anupam, they took all their wealth and filled several boats with that wealth. Then they went to Fetyabad, one of their ancestral homes, and divided all the wealth. Half they gave to the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas to support the propagation of Krishna consciousness. One-fourth they gave to family members for their purposes, and one-fourth they kept for emergency. Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the ideal example of how grihasthas should strive to utilize their wealth. According to the Shastras, one of the very prime duties of a grihastha is to give in charity. And the ultimate charity, which is on the transcendental platform, is to utilize our funds, our sources, to propagate devotional service. They also left 10,000 gold coins with a local grocer to help Sanatan Goswami if he was in need. they sent a messenger to Jagannath Puri to find out when Lord Chaitanya was going to go to Vrindavan, because they wanted to go with him. The messenger came back and said, Lord Chaitanya already went to Vrindavan some time back. So they immediately began their journey to Vrindavan Dham. Meanwhile, Sanatan Goswami just lost all interest in his duties, and he just stayed home with devotees reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. The Nawab Husain Shah sent a doctor. He said, Sakar Malik, he claims to be sick, but he's been sick for so long. Go and check him out. The doctor returned. He said, Sakar Malik, he's quite good health. He's just reciting Srimad Bhagavatam with devotees all day. Nawab Husain Shah personally entered into Sanatan's home. He was outraged. I have treated you like my own brother. I have divided my kingdom with you. You have to understand, your older brother is very fond of conquering lands and killing people and killing animals. I'm going to conquer Orissa. I need your help to maintain the kingdom. Give up all this nonsense. Sanatan Goswami said, I resign. I will no longer perform any governmental duties for you. Now you can do whatever you want with me. You are the king. God is in your heart. You can punish me any way you like. Nawab was furious. He stormed out of that place and ordered Sanatan to be put in prison. Sanatan Goswami was put in the prison with a ball and chain on his legs. Meanwhile, Rupa Goswami and Anupam, with great anticipation of darshan of Lord Chaitanya, they traveled toward Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya resided in Vrindavan for 2 months. He traveled through all the 12 forests. He discovered Radha Kund, Shama Kund, and other eternal places of Krishna's Leela that had been lost to the view of the world. For some time he was living at the Akrura Ghat, and every day he would come to chant the holy name sitting at Imlital on the banks of Jamuna. No one can fathom the ecstatic satisfaction of Lord Gauranga in Vrindavan. It is said that when Lord Chaitanya was in Puri, the thought of Vrindavan increased his ecstatic love by hundreds of times. When he was roaming through the Jarikanda forest en route to Vrindavan, his ecstasies were increased thousands of times. When he entered into the district of Mathura, his ecstasies increased millions of times. And when he was wandering through the 12 forests of Brajbhumi, his ecstasies increased unlimitedly. But at Akrura Ghat, so many people were coming and inviting the Lord to come to their homes. Most all were Brijbasis. You don't want to offend them. The Lord's servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, was under tremendous pressure. Plus, Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies were out of control sometimes. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya said, we should leave Vrindavan, my Lord, please. Soon the month of Magh is coming, and there's a very nice Magh Mela festival at Prayag. We should go there. So the Lord, just to please his devotee, left Vrindavan. They arrived at Prayag. In the Vedic scriptures, that place is called Prayagraj. It is king of holy places. It is there that the Ganges and the Jamuna and the river Saraswatis all meet. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that for all the millenniums that these three rivers met at Prayag, never did these rivers overflow and flood the city. However, when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inducing the city of Prayag to perform Harinam Sankirtan, there was a flood of ecstatic love that completely inundated all of Prayag. Srila Rupa Goswami and Anupam arrived at that time. There was a glorious kirtan at the temple of Veni Madhava. That deity is still there for those of you who visit Prayag. in front of the beautiful Murti Veni Madhava, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting the beauty of his ecstatic love. Massive crowds of people were gathered around, just staring, unblinking at his beauty. He induced them all to dance and to chant. It was a tumultuous war of Harinam Sankirtan. Rupa Goswami and Anupam offered their prostrate obeisances from a distance. After many hours of flooding Prayag with the inundation of love of God, Lord Chaitanya went to a Dakin Brahmin's house for prasad. As he was taking prasad, Sri Rupa Goswami and Anupam approached. He had just finished prasad. They offered their obeisances from a distant place. And there Rupa Goswami, with folded hands and a heart overflowing with love, composed the famous sloka, Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaura Dveshe Namaha. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most munificent, the most merciful of all incarnations. He is giving what no other incarnation has ever given. The highest levels of ecstatic love of God to everyone and anyone, freely, without discrimination. Lord Chaitanya very pleasingly embraced them. He had Balabhadra Bhattacharya give them the remnants of Mahamaha Prasad from his plate. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to make his residence right at the confluence between the two rivers. Rupa Goswami and Anupam made their residence just next to his. There was a great devotee named Ballabha Bhatt. He came to invite Lord Chaitanya to go to his village called Aila. At that time, Rupa Goswami and Anupam were offering their obeisances from a distant place to Ballabha Bhatt. Ballabha Bhatta wanted to embrace them, but Rupa Goswami and his brother ran away. Ballabha Bhatta said, "Where are you going? Why are you running?" And Rupa Goswami and his brother, out of genuine and sincere humility, they said that we are sinful, we are most fallen, we are condemned, we are ignorant. If you touch us or see us, you will be contaminated. Ballabha Bhattacharya turned toward Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said to him, "What they are saying is correct. You are a very, very highly elevated aristocratic Brahmin and a learned scholar. They have lost their caste. If you touch them, you will be contaminated." The Lord was testing Ballabha Bhatt. But Ballabha Bhatt said, "I can see that from their mouths constantly chanting the names of Krishna. And according to the scriptures, even if a chandala is always chanting the name of Krishna, then they can purify the whole world and be guru. I want to embrace them for my purification." Lord Chaitanya was very pleased. Then they went to the Aila Gram, and that was a nice story, and then they came back. Because it was the month of Magh, there were many, many people crowded at the confluence. One day, Lord Chaitanya, actually, he asked Rupa Goswami when he first met, he said, "Where is your brother, Sanatan?" He said, "Sanatan is in prison. If you give him your mercy, then he can be freed." Lord Chaitanya said, "By Krishna's mercy, he is already free, and soon you will see him again." One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Rupa Goswami and Anupam to a very quiet, secluded place on the bank of the river. The name of that holy place is Dashashwamedha Ghat, one of the most holy of all holy places for Gaudiya Vaishnava. Recently, just this last January, we went to attend the Kumbh Mela. Every 12 years, tens and millions of people come to Prayag. And ISKCON did very wonderful preaching and prasad distribution and Harinam Sankirtan. But on several days, with a small group of people, we went to Dashashvamedha Ghat to pray at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami. It was at Dashashvamedha Ghat that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu imparted transcendental knowledge to Rupa Goswami in the same way that Lord Krishna imparted knowledge to Lord Brahma at the beginning of creation. Seeing him a fit candidate to distribute his message to the whole world, Lord Chaitanya embraced him. The Lord personally infused within Rupa Goswami's heart the capacity to perfectly understand his teachings. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaka Dhamayam Dadati Svapadantika. Rupa Goswami's mind was non-different than the mind of Lord Chaitanya by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. We find in this reading that we have today that the love of Rupa Goswami was non-different than the ecstatic love of Lord Chaitanya. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his teachings. Shall I continue now or this evening?
Yes.
This evening? So we will begin this evening by discussing the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sri Rupa Goswami and then the life of Rupa Goswami from that time. We will continue this celebration of Sri Rupa Goswami's disappearance day at 5:30 this evening. A preview, we will hear how Lord Chaitanya taught Rupa Goswami at the Dashashvamedha Ghat. We will hear about Sri Rupa Goswami's journey to Vrindavan, about his travels to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya. The most profound, significant, and incredible pastimes he had with Lord Chaitanya and the devotees in Puri. Anyone who hears these pastimes attentively with a submissive heart will be submerged in ecstatic love. Then we will hear of his return to Vrindavan, his meeting with Sanatan Goswami, how Rupa Goswami with the other Goswamis performed their divine lila for the rest of their lives in Sri Vrindavan Dham. How he excavated holy places, built temples, and discovered the deity of Govindadev. And how he lived perfectly, exhibiting the true example of a Vaishnava and renounced order. If you sincerely wish to go back to Godhead, please do come this evening. Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gopimanandi. Today being the very auspicious disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami, we will continue the narration which we began this morning. Rupa Goswami met Lord Chaitanya in Prayag. They were living very close to each other at the confluence of the Jamuna Ganga and Saraswati. Because there were such large crowds of people, Lord Chaitanya took Sri Rupa Goswami and Anupam to a secluded place, just on the bank of a holy river. It is called the Dashashvamedha Ghat. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that just as Lord Krishna invested transcendental knowledge in the heart of Lord Brahma at the beginning of creation, similarly Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Sri Rupa Goswami to understand the essence of his teachings. This is one of the most historical incidents in Vaishnava history. For it was at the Dashashvamedha Ghat at Prayag that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu planted the seed which would later expand into a flower that would spread the fragrance of love of God throughout the entire world. Lord Chaitanya considered Rupa Goswami a suitable candidate to be empowered with the most confidential understandings of his own heart. Because of his genuine humility, his renunciation, and his sincere desire for devotional service. At the very spot where this sacred conversation took place, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur later installed deities of the footprints of Lord Chaitanya to commemorate this great pastime. Recently we were there praying to Sri Rupa Goswami for his causeless mercy. And millions of devotees have gone to that place over the centuries. Lord Chaitanya began his teachings. He explained that the subject of devotional service to Lord Krishna is like a vast, unlimited ocean. And that he was going to make a sincere attempt to explain a portion of one drop from that ocean. There are 8,400,000 species of life within the universe. There are two categories. There is the moving and the non-moving. Of the moving species, most are animals and fish and insects and reptiles and birds. It's very rare to attain the human form of life. This human existence is especially meant for God realization. However, the majority of human population is uncivilized, which means they do not follow the guidelines of the holy scriptures. Of that rare segment of the population that follows the regulations of the scriptures, most of them do not actually follow. They just have some faith by moving their lips. And of those who follow the rules and regulations of the scriptures, most of them are on the path of karma kanda. They worship God so that they can improve their pleasures in this material world. But Krishna tells us in Gita, Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avartanorjana mamupetyatu kondiya punar janmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world to the lowest, they're all places of suffering because repeated birth and death are inevitable. There is no possibility of finding a solution to material suffering by any materialistic attempt. Of such fruitive workers, it is very, very rare to find one wise man who is seeking liberation. But liberation is only the negation of the sufferings due to material attachment. There is no actual satisfaction of the soul in liberation because the liberation is looking for endless eternal love. And out of many, many such wise persons who seek liberation, it's very rare to find one pure devotee of Lord Krishna. Why is muktanam api sarvesham madgatenantaratmana sharavan bhajate sam samayuktatamasam muktanam api siddhana narayana parayana sudulabha prasantatma koteshvapi mahamuni. That out of many, many people who have attained mukti, out of many, many people who have attained the mystic cities, it's very, very rare to find one pure devotee of Lord Narayan, because he's the only one who can actually be peaceful. Then Lord Chaitanya explained why this is so. That the living entity, the spirit soul, that is the source of life within everyone, is 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. The spirit soul is an infinitesimal fragmental part of Krishna. It is the eternal servant of Krishna, and therefore its only real satisfaction is to be reconnected through Krishna through devotional service. Krishna tells us in Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyasya smitatvata. I can be understood only through devotional service. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matvabhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Lord Chaitanya explains to Rupa Goswami that the glory of pure devotional service. He explains how the living entity wanders through millions and millions of species of life. When that living entity receives the greatest fortune, he comes in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord. Through the mercy of such a Vaishnava, the Bhakti Lata Bija, the seed of devotion, is planted within the heart of the devotee. That seed of devotion is the most precious treasure in all of existence. The devotee becomes like a gardener who is meant to nourish the seed of devotion. Lord Chaitanya said the nourishment is by watering it with the 9 processes of devotional service, especially hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. At the same time, we must very carefully protect that young, tender creeper by the association of devotees and following the regulative principles. As we hear and chant the glories of the Lord, the creeper begins to grow. But in the garden of the heart, along with the creeper of devotion, weeds will grow. The weeds of false pride, the desire for honor and prestige, lust, envy, anger, greed, illusion, the propensity for dishonesty, deceitfulness. These weeds will inevitably be growing. And the water of hearing and chanting will also cause them to grow. If we are not extremely careful, as soon as we see these weeds, we must immediately uproot them. It's very important we have the guidance of spiritual master and senior Vaishnavas. Because for a conditioned soul, it is often very difficult to discriminate what is the Bhakti Lata Bija and what is a weed. If we allow these weeds to grow, they will choke the Bhakti Lata Bij and kill the creeper of devotion. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned, the devotee who is doing the gardening in his heart must be very careful to look for these weeds and to uproot them. And we have seen over the years how devotees performing so much devotional service, if they're not careful, pull out those weeds, eventually those weeds choke their devotional enthusiasm. And the greatest of all impediments is the hati aparad. This means the elephant offense, offending a Vaishnava. Lord Chaitanya described that when we offend great souls, it is like bringing a mad, wild elephant into the small garden of our heart where the tender seed of devotion is just beginning to bud. For those of you who have lived in wild jungles, you know that the most dangerous and feared of all animals is the mad elephant. A snake may kill one or two people. Tiger or a lion, they don't kill people unless they're old and they can't find anything else to eat. So they'll only kill one person at a time. But a mad elephant, he'll come in and destroy an entire village and kill everyone. They're mad. They just go crazy. But the females don't become like this, only the men. At certain stages in their life, they just go crazy. One time I was visiting a zoo. I was actually there on a mission for the Krishna Consciousness Movement. And I happened to meet some of the zookeepers. And I asked them of all the animals in the zoo, which is the most dangerous? They said, the male elephants. Said, when somehow or other something goes into them and if they go mad, they usually kill their trainer and everyone around them. So offending Vaishnavas is like letting these mad elephants into your heart. However, Lord Chaitanya continued, if the devotee continues watering the seed with the ambrosial nectarine shower of hearing and chanting, guarding against the fences and guarding against weeds, the Bhakti Latak Bij grows. It grows beyond all the middle and upper planetary systems of this universe, beyond even Brahma Loka. It pierces the cover of the universe. It goes beyond even the entire material cosmos. Beyond material existence is an area called the Viraja. It is like a river that is the border between the material and spiritual worlds. The creeper pierces through the Viraja and enters into the spiritual sky. The unlimited, all-pervading spiritual light of the Lord. It continues to grow up to the level of the Vaikuntha planets. The devotee continues on hearing and chanting. The creeper enters into the supreme most of all spiritual abodes, Goloka Vrindavan. There, the creeper of devotion produces a beautiful ripened fruit, the fruit of pure unalloyed love for Krishna. That fruit of love of God is offered to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Krishna is very pleased to accept that love. And then the gardener tastes the sweetness of the fruit. Thus he enters into a state of unlimited spiritual ecstasy. And meanwhile, he's still in the material world, hearing and chanting, while his devotional creepers in Goloka Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya explained that in pure devotional service, there are 5 primary and 7 secondary rasas the soul has with Krishna. He explained elaborately the 5 primary rasas. The first is Shanta Ras, relationship of neutrality with Krishna. The 2 prominent qualities of Shanta Ras is complete detachment from any material ego or desire and complete attachment to Krishna. Examples of great personalities who have attained Shanta Ras are the 9 Yogendras and the 4 Kumaras. When Shanta Ras is given an addition of active service, it becomes Dasya Ras. In Dasya Ras, there is a feeling of awe and reverence of the greatness of Krishna, that you are my master and I am your servant. This is the state of pure devotional service where the devotee is willing to sacrifice anything and everything to execute the will of Krishna. Examples of this in Vrindavan are Patraka, Chitraka, and Raktaka. And in Dwarka there is Daruka. The next ras is Sakya Ras. When we add to Dasya Ras, intimate familiarity, where the intensity of love increases so much that we no longer see that Krishna is the master, I am servant, but we see that Krishna is my dearest, well-wishing friend. Such a devotee is utterly surrendered in pure devotion to the will of Krishna, but in a spirit that Krishna is equal, Krishna is my friend, and we love him in that mood. In Vrindavan, the gopas, cowherd boys, they love Krishna in this spirit. Sometimes they would wrestle with Krishna, and they would defeat Krishna. How could anyone defeat Krishna? Krishna is defeated by the love of his devotee. Sometimes they would play games, and Krishna would lose and have to carry his friends on his shoulders as punishment. Actually not punishment, but it was just Krishna's great pleasure to be defeated by his devotee. Lord Chaitanya explained that Arjuna, he was also in friendly relationship with Krishna. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna showed his universal form to Arjuna. And Arjuna understood, you are the supreme master and I am your servant. But then when Krishna withdrew his universal form, gradually again Arjuna's friendly relationship with Krishna, which was much more intimate, was awakened. So the examples of Sakyaras, Lord Chaitanya said in Vrindavan, is Sridhama and Sudama. When we add to Sakyaras another special feature, the feeling that I am the maintainer of Krishna, that becomes Vatsalyaras, parental affection. In this parental affection, the devotees feel that Krishna is depending on me. If I do not feed him, he may die. Such pure spiritual love. The examples of Vatsalyaras in Vrindavan are Nanda and Yashoda, and in Mathura and Dwarka it is Vasudev and Devaki. If we add an even greater intimacy of offering one's body, mind, words, life, everything for the pleasure of Krishna, then it becomes Madhuryaras. In Madhuryaras, or conjugal love, the examples in Vrindavan are gopis, the examples in Dwarka are his queens, and the examples in Vaikuntha are the goddesses of fortune. Lord Chaitanya explained in this description of rasa tattva that all the rasas in progressiveness contain all the qualities of the previous rasas. Just like the material elements, there is ether, and then air contains ether plus something else, and then fire, and then water, and earth contain all the elements of the previous. Then Lord Chaitanya explained, even within these five rasas, there are two categories. They are Aishwarya, or seeing Krishna with great awe and reverence, and there is Kevala, Kevala Ras, or pure Ras, where we have no tinge of seeing the greatness of Krishna. Greatness of Krishna, we mean perceiving him as the supreme absolute truth, the cause of all causes. Lord Chaitanya gave many examples. How Vasudeva and Devaki, when they saw Krishna kill Kamsa in Mathura, and Balaram came up to them and bowed down to their parents. Vasudeva and Devaki so much wanted to embrace Krishna and Balaram. But in their heart of hearts, they were thinking, he just killed Kamsa. He's the supreme personality of Godhead. How can we embrace him? So this understanding of Krishna as the supreme Lord was an impediment to the spontaneity of their parental love. However, Mother Yashoda, when she found Krishna stealing butter, she tied him up with ropes. She chastised him. On one occasion, Mother Yashoda looked in Krishna's mouth and saw the whole universe. But her love was so intense, as soon as he closed his mouth, she forgot the whole thing and just thought, if I don't feed Krishna my milk, he will suffer and be hungry. Only in Vrindavan is there this pure, spontaneous Kevala Bhakti. Lord Chaitanya said, even if Krishna reveals his supreme opulence as the Lord, still, they don't take it seriously because their personal relationship is so deep and it's the only thing they really consider. Lord Chaitanya explained to Rupa Goswami the highest limits of spiritual elevation is the love of the gopis of Vrindavan. And how through cultivating devotion through the nine processes of bhakti, one can attain the elevated stages that he had explained. Then he told Rupa Goswami that I have given you just a sample of this knowledge. You should expand it and spread it through the whole world. Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami that I have personally entered into your heart and given you the power to understand and distribute everything I have spoken. Now you should go to Vrindavan and you should write transcendental literatures extracting the essence of all knowledge, pure devotional service. You should excavate the lost holy places where Radha and Krishna perform their eternal lila. You should build beautiful temples and establish deity worship. And through your life, you should show the world proper Vaishnava etiquette and the proper standards of devotion in this order of renunciation. Lord Chaitanya gave Rupa Goswami these four instructions. Then he began his trip to Varanasi. Rupa Goswami and Anupam begged Lord Chaitanya, "We want to come to Varanasi with you. The waves within the ocean of separation are pounding against our hearts. We cannot bear it. Please let us come with you." Lord Chaitanya said, "You go to Vrindavan now, but after some time, you both come to Jagannath Puri to meet me." Then the Lord got on a boat and began sailing along the Ganges to Varanasi. Due to separation, Srila Rupa Goswami fell down on the ground unconscious, and the Deccan Brahmin had to pick him up and carry him home. Rupa Goswami and Anupam, following the order of the Lord, traveled by foot to Vrindavan. When they arrived, they were met by a very, very humble and dear devotee of the Lord. His name was Subhuti Rai. Subhuti Rai was at one time, he was a very great ruler of Bengal. He had a servant who he treated just like his own son. One time they were excavating a lake and the servant was making very foolish, dangerous mistakes. So just to teach him, he beat him. Later on, that servant became the Nawab Hussein Shah, the king of Bengal. But he loved Subhuti Rai. One time he was having a confidential relation with his wife, and his wife happened to see some scar on his back. "Ah, very angry. Ah, what is this? Who has done this to you?" He said it was Subhuti Rai. She said, "He must die. I order you, my husband, you must kill him." Nawab said, "But he was like a father. He was just trying to teach me a good lesson." "No, no, what he has done, he must die." And Nawab said, "For a Hindu, to lose his caste is worse than death." In those days, it was very easy, due to superstition, to take away a Hindu's caste. The Nawab Hussein Shah arranged to sprinkle water from a pot that a Muslim drank from on a Hindu's head. In this way, Subhuti Rai was an outcast. Wasn't allowed in any temples. He wasn't allowed to do any worship. He went to Varanasi and was asking various Brahmins, "Is there any way I can become a Hindu again?" They were saying, "Ah, someone sprinkled Muslim water on your head? Impossible. You are condemned." Some other Brahmin said, "Very difficult. However, there is a way. You take pure ghee, you make it so hot that it's smoking, then immediately you drink it all. And the result is you die. But because you die drinking pure ghee, in your next life you may take birth as a Hindu." So all these Brahmins were giving him different opinions. But Lord Chaitanya happened to be in Varanasi when he was there. He asked him, "What should I do?" Lord Chaitanya said, "You go to Vrindavan, you serve Vaishnavas, you always chant Hare Krishna, you'll become not only best Hindu, you'll become Vaishnav, you'll become perfect, you'll go back to Godhead in this very life." So Subhuti Rai went to Vrindavan. He was so humble. Bengali devotees would come to Vrindavan. In Bengal they eat rice, but in Vrindavan you only get rotis if you're begging. So Bengalis usually had stomach disorders in Vrindavan. So Subhuti Rai would go out into the forest and collect dry wood from the ground. He would bring it all the way to Mathura to sell it. With the money he got, he would buy yogurt and rice. And he would feed the Bengali Vaishnavas this to make them feel very nice. And he would also give them oil massages and take them on parikrama of Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami and Anupam, they toured all the 12 forests of Vrindavan with Subhuti Rai. While in Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami had an inspiration to write a drama about Krishna's Leela, containing both his Vrindavan Leela and his Dwarka Leela. Then he decided that we should go to Jagannath Puri on the order of Lord Chaitanya to receive his holy darshan. Rupa Goswami and Anupam traveled along the path of the Ganges. It was their great longing to meet Srila Sanatan Goswami on the way. They went across the path of the Ganges because they felt Sanatan Goswami escaping from prison will certainly come by this private road. Sanatan Goswami escaped from prison. He met Lord Chaitanya at Varanasi and there received instructions from him for 2 months. At the end of the 2 months, Mahaprabhu told Sanatan Goswami, go to Vrindavan, you have nothing to fear. So he went right on the main road. Thus he did not see Rupa Goswami. When they came to Varanasi, Rupa Goswami saw millions of people chanting Hare Krishna in massive Harinam Sankirtan. He even saw Prakashananda Saraswati, the king of the Mayavadis, and all of his disciples had become Vaishnavas by the unlimited mercy of Lord Gauranga. When they entered into Bengal, Anupam, the younger brother of Sri Rupa Goswami, departed from this world. His soul returned back home, back to Godhead. Sri Rupa Goswami very dutifully performed all the last rites for his brother. Because Rupa Goswami took care of the last rites of his brother Anupam, when he arrived in Navadweep to join the devotees on their journey to Puri Dham, they had already left. Sri Rupa Goswami proceeded alone with great longing and anticipation to see Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. In Puri, the province of Orissa, he stopped for one night in a village called Satyabhamapur. While he was resting, a most beautiful goddess appeared to him in a dream. She told him that you should write a separate drama about me. If you do so, you will have all my blessings and be successful. When Rupa Goswami woke up, he understood that was Satyabhama Devi who appeared. She wants me to write 2 dramas, one about Vrindavan Leela and one about Dwarka Leela. Soon after, Srila Rupa Goswami arrived in Purushottam Chaitra, Sri Jagannath Puri Dham. There he went to the bhajan kutir of Srila Haridas Thakur. When these 2 great souls met one another, they offered their obeisances and with much love and affection they embraced. Haridas Thakur said that, Lord Gauranga told me you would come soon. I have been waiting for you. Rupa Goswami asked, where is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Haridas Thakur said, he comes here about this time every day. At that very moment, Lord Chaitanya arrived. Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami offered their dandavat obeisances with great emotion. Haridas stood up, but Rupa Goswami remained on the ground. Haridas Thakur said, my lord, this is Rupa Goswami. He has come to see you. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great affection, he lifted up Rupa Goswami and embraced him. The 3 of them sat together to discuss auspicious news. And then they discussed other subjects. This is Vaishnav culture. It's not when you meet somebody you talk the gossip of who has fallen down and what scandal took place here and what problems are happening in the management of the temple. In Vaishnav culture, when you first meet, you just simply speak about auspicious subject matters. And then that's such a higher taste, you're not supposed to have any more inclination for other subjects. After they discussed auspicious news, Rupa Goswami told Lord Chaitanya about the passing away of his brother Anupam. Lord Chaitanya assured him that he has attained the eternal abode of his worshipable Lord Sri Ramchandra. They spoke so many wonderful subjects. Every single day, Lord Chaitanya, when he would come out of Jagannath Temple after the morning darshan, he would go to the Bhajan Kutir of Haridas Thakur to meet he and Rupa Goswami. Although Haridas Thakur is the Namacharya, in the most exalted position of the supreme teacher of the Yuga Dharma, still, because he was so humble, due to being born in a lower birth, he never once attempted to violate the etiquette of the temple to go inside. And similarly, Sri Rupa Goswami, he considered himself so low and so sinful for having in his earlier life served this Malecha king that he felt himself unfit to enter Jagannath's temple, never once attempted. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya personally arranged a place just next to the temple for them to live. And Lord Chaitanya, who is Jagannath himself, would personally come out of his temple to see Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur, to embrace them and to give them his own personal Mahaprasad. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. The best part of this whole narration is about to begin. The next chapter, which I'm going to speak on, there is a benediction. Whoever hears it sincerely will gain the eternal shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. At this time, we are going to celebrate the most glorious Vrindavan festival, Julan Yatra. Do you have any idea what's going on in Vrindavan now? It is the busiest time of the year. Yes, Govinda Maharaj? Far more busier than Kartik. During the Julan Yatra time, hundreds and thousands of people are crowded all over Vrindavan to see the glorious darshan of Radha and Krishna, enjoying the leela of swinging to the singing of their devotees. By Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy here, in the distant land of Moscow, Russia, Radha and Krishna have come to swing and transform this place into Vrindavan. So with great love and great attention, we should sing and celebrate the swing festival of Sri Radha Shyam Sundar. Afterward, we will continue the narration of the glories of Sri Rupa Goswami. Srila Prabhupada ki. For now, let us everyone turn toward the deities and chant their holy names.